This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Friday, July 1st. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. When Elon Musk put his $44 billion acquisition of Twitter on hold, he demanded to see data on the number of bots that were operating on the social media platform. After some legal back and forth, Twitter went ahead and gave Musk access to its so-called fire hose of tweet data. So, what was included in that data? How useful will it be for Musk? And what effect could it have on the acquisition? On today's show, our tech reporter Sarah Needleman will join us to break it all down. That's after these headlines. A wave of layoffs from tech companies amid growing concerns about the state of the economy. Niantic, creator of the popular augmented reality game Pokemon Go, is laying off about 8% of its workforce and stopping production on some projects. It says the move will let it prioritize games like its new NBA All-World collaboration with the National Basketball Association, its app development platform Lightship, and Pokemon Go, the last big hit for the company from back in 2016. Substack, the newsletter startup, is laying off about 14% of its workforce, saying it's bracing for a period of challenging conditions that could last years. The venture-backed company says it's aiming to rely less on continued fundraising to support its business. And Unity Software, known for making tools for creating video games and other applications, is cutting 4% of its workforce. Unity's shares are down more than 70% from the start of the year. In a statement, a spokesman said the layoffs are part of the company's regular assessments to realign resources and support long-term growth. Meanwhile, in China, tech giants like Tencent and TikTok parent ByteDance are laying off thousands of employees as harsh lockdown measures to combat the Omicron variant of COVID-19 bog down the Chinese economy. The new cuts come on top of tens of thousands of employees that Chinese internet companies have laid off since late last year after a regulatory crackdown from Beijing. But our tech reporter, Raphael Huang, says this latest round of layoffs is different.
This happens after Beijing has been signaling an easing of its regulatory campaigns, as Chinese officials now count on tech giants to help save the economy that was hit by the Omicron outbreaks. The macroeconomy risks are growing and overtaking regulatory risks. And the layoff at this point would suggest that even as most of the regulatory uncertainties have settled, a full recovery for the whole tech sector is still nowhere near, because the macro conditions are still weak.
Shares of Chinese artificial intelligence company SenseTime fell by nearly half yesterday, erasing almost $12 billion of market value. The drop came as some investors rushed for the door after a six-month post-IPO lockup period ended. A spokesman said the company wasn't in a position to comment on the stock price, but is confident that its long-term growth and value will be recognized by investors. And a member of the Federal Communications Commission is calling on Apple and Google to remove TikTok from their app stores. Republican Commissioner Brendan Carr wrote a letter to the tech giants last Friday saying TikTok poses a national security risk due to its extensive data harvesting and Beijing's access to that data. TikTok said it uses encryption and security monitoring to secure user data and that its access approval process is overseen by a team based in the U.S. Apple and Google didn't respond to requests for comment. All right, coming up, what was included in the data dump Twitter sent Elon Musk? We'll have the details after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Elon Musk and Twitter have been in talks about a $44 billion acquisition since April. So, 3 months in, what's the holdup? The Tesla and SpaceX CEO has said there's three issues standing in the way: lining up financing for the deal, winning shareholder approval, and bots. He thinks Twitter is rife with fake accounts, so much so that he put the deal on hold while demanding the company turn over data on its fake or spam accounts. Now, some have speculated that the move was an attempt at renegotiating or scuttling the deal altogether. Whatever the case, in recent weeks, Musk got that data. But how useful was it to him really? And where does the deal go next? Here to help answer those questions is WSJ tech reporter Sarah Needleman, who's been following the story. Hi, Sarah. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So Elon Musk got what he asked for from Twitter. He got this huge data dump. Exactly how much data are we talking here?
So he received historical tweet data and access to the company's so-called fire hose of tweets. The fire hose shows the full flood of tweets. And keep in mind that people post about hundreds of millions of times a day on the platform, according to the company. And he's accessing this data in near real time. So it's a large volume of information.
And what was included in that data?
It's really just tweets and the timestamps and dates of when those tweets were put out. So there aren't any direct messages, for example, DMs. It doesn't include any personal or private information from users, like their IP addresses or email addresses. So it's really just tweets and their timestamps.
Since it's just tweets and timestamps, can that information actually be used to identify bots? And if so, I mean, how accurate would that be?
Well, you could use it to find some bots. What some of the experts I spoke to say, they described it as low-hanging fruit. So these would be obvious instances of bots just by, you know, looking through the data. Certainly, if a particular account is tweeting more times in a short period than a human possibly could, that's a good indication of a bot. But it also could dig up bots that are arguably useful, ones that just post, say, weather alerts or photos of cute animals. It would miss sophisticated human-like bot behavior, because you really need some of that personal data to cross-check to make sure a user is human or not. And these bots are very sophisticated. And so to go through at least in a short period of time, because we know that Twitter shareholders are voting on the deal later this summer. So he is strapped for time to go through it and parse that data to figure out which accounts may be bots, and not just bots in general, but ones that are spewing spam as opposed to, like I said, helpful information like weather alerts.
So that actually raises another question. How do you determine what's considered a fake or spam account or not?
Right. There's no standard industry definition. So if Mr. Musk and Twitter were to compare, say, just analysis of the fire hose data and nothing else, and keep it more of an apples to apples comparison, they would have to agree on what constitutes a bad bot or malicious behavior and come across some sort of a universal definition. And this goes back to the point we're saying that when Twitter comes up with this estimate, it does have access to that personal data we talked about earlier. And that's something Mr. Musk doesn't have. And Twitter also uses humans, you know, employees, to analyze the fire hose data. And that's something Mr. Musk wouldn't be able to replicate. So the comparison to Twitter's process for estimating spam on its platform isn't something that Mr. Musk or really anyone could easily replicate.
So Elon Musk got this data. What does that mean for the deal? Because he's been saying that he thinks the bots make up about 20% of accounts. Twitter has said they only make up 5% of accounts. So would this discrepancy be enough grounds for him to pull out of the deal?
He could try, but again, he has to come up with a number and share the process for coming up with it and making a convincing argument that whatever he finds is perhaps a more accurate number, or that Twitter was either dishonest or just did a poor job of assessing its platform. And again, that's very difficult to do when you can't compare to their process that's done internally. Another factor to consider is that Twitter's number is based on its population of monetizable daily users. And we also know that many people log on to Twitter just to repost. They don't actually tweet themselves. You know, that's a significant share of the platform's users. And that points to another limitation of the fire hose data, because that could meaningfully affect how percentages of users are calculated. You know, so the experts I spoke to say it wouldn't be surprising that if he comes up with a different number, it may not be enough to change the course of the deal or the terms of the deal.
And what happens next in the deal? You mentioned that there's going to be a vote later in the summer. Is there anything else that we can look forward to?
That is a major next step, but we're talking about someone who has surprised us in many instances over these last few months. So we have to see if Mr. Musk will come forward and say that his team has come up with a different number, and perhaps he will argue that Twitter's process was faulty. But again, it's difficult to know exactly whether or not that would be enough to change the course of the deal, given the factors we talked about earlier. So it remains to be seen. But the next step that we know about being on the books or being on the record is this upcoming shareholder vote. So between now and then, it's anyone's guess as to what Mr. Musk might say at an event or on Twitter itself. Speaking of which, Mr. Musk hasn't tweeted since June 21st. So as of Thursday, that would be 9 days, and pretty unusual for Mr. Musk, who is known to be a serial tweeter. And the fact that he's been quiet is very interesting, or it's at least somewhat surprising. So all eyes are on that platform to see what he says next and when he says it next. We're talking about a person who's known for making news based on a single tweet. And now we're saying there's news, and the fact that he hasn't tweeted is in itself also pretty interesting.
I agree. That is pretty interesting. All right. That was our tech reporter, Sarah Needleman. Sarah, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for Tech News Briefing this week. We had production assistance from Ariana Aspuru. We had editorial support from Scott Salloway. Our supervising producer is Chris Zinsley. Our executive producer is Kateri Yoakum. And I'm your host, Julie Chang, filling in for Zoe Thomas. A quick programming note, we'll be off on Monday for Independence Day, but we'll be back in your feed on Tuesday. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.